We all just spent the past year learning just how valuable the school environment is for students. Desks, whiteboards, playgrounds, the whole thing.
We've taken public school buildings and turned them into, you know, living communities, so to speak.
That's District 87's Colin Manahan. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT and WGLT.org comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, with nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines, connecting travelers to the Great Lakes State, the East Coast, and the world. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.
It's Wednesday, May 5th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with Bloomington Normal's public pools getting ready to reopen after losing last season to COVID-19. The city of Bloomington will only open one pool this summer holiday on May 29th. Aquatic sports program manager Nicole Culbertson says they're going to try to make the pool experience feel as normal as possible.
I'm not sure what normal feels like anymore, but it will still be normal. Our 50% capacity will still be a lot of people in the pool area, so I think people will still be able to enjoy their time while they're in the pool.
Everyone visiting Holiday Pool this year must register in advance for an open swim time block, even the littlest swimmers. The city's hiring lifeguards now.
I'm still in the hiring process, but we're pretty much good to go. I do have a pretty good, amazing returning crew that come back year after year, and they also help spreading the word. I feel kind of lucky, and it kind of helps where I'm only staffing one pool versus two pools this year.
That's because the city's other pool, O'Neill Pool, is closed for reconstruction. Bloomington pool passes are now on sale. Over in Normal, Fairview Aquatic Center opens May 29th, Anderson opening June 5th. Both will run at reduced capacity. Reservations will be required there, too. Blocks are 2 hours long, up to 3 days in advance. Guests may only book one reservation block each day, though re-entry will be allowed upon availability. Here's some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. McLean County health officials report three more COVID-related deaths. All were women, one in her 60s, the other two in their 80s. None lived in long-term care. Governor J.B. Pritzker says he's cautiously optimistic Illinois will be free of most coronavirus restrictions by July 4th. One thing coming back is the Chicago Auto Show, starting July 15th. And Republican Congressman Darren LaHood says potentially removing Liz Cheney from her GOP leadership role is not a good idea. LaHood represents parts of Bloomington Normal and was a close ally of President Trump. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. Every school building renovation in District 87 over the last quarter century has had Colin Manahan's hands on it. That includes a major expansion to Bloomington Junior High, a new fine arts wing at Bloomington High School, and a new multi-purpose field at BHS. Manahan is the district's facilities and financial chief. He's giving up both jobs this summer as he retires. Manahan tells Eric Stock the pandemic made this past year the most memorable and challenging yet.
I would say it's probably the saddest because there was no interaction with staff, with kids. A lot of these events that we go to really brighten the day, brighten the week. You know, whether it's homecoming or honors night or a cookout with administration and kids, all these things were put on hold. So I would say this last year has not been eventful in that way. It's been more sad than anything else.
What has been the most challenging part of this, from one, keeping the students and the faculty and the staff safe from the coronavirus while the finances take a back seat, but of course they can't take a back seat for long?
That's a fine line. A year ago, from a financial perspective, you know, when the crisis was in full bloom, we weren't sure what was going to happen to our revenue stream, quite frankly. At the local level, with businesses struggling, people in general struggling, a big part of our revenue is property taxes. So we were concerned, you know, how that was going to fare. We also receive a fair amount of revenue, corporate personal property and replacement taxes. Again, with businesses struggling, we weren't sure. A lot of uncertainty went into this last year financially. Now, the good news is we've done very well with both of those revenue streams. We've done well with state and federal revenue streams. So we're in really good shape, but I couldn't say that a year ago because there was just way too much uncertainty on where this was all going.
What is the hardest part about handling both finances and facilities? So managing a $75 million budget and, you know, nearly a dozen buildings, it seems to be a unique skill set to handle the nuts and bolts of both of those things.
Well, and that's an interesting observation. I've been here for a long time, so I haven't been immune to the finances of the district, so to speak. We have had a very intensive capital campaign the last 20 plus years to improve our facilities. So there was a great deal of thought and planning going in to how to finance the reconstruction of all of our buildings. I have been in tune to the finances of the district for a very, very long time. I may not get the numbers right, but these are rough estimates. I've managed all administratively, all of the construction projects from 1997 through today. And that's well in excess of 275 projects that were competitively bid at well over $80 million. So, you know, when you look at that sum of money, you can see a lot of money has been put back into the buildings, and it was needed. These buildings needed some help when I got here. And so I was part of a leadership team that had the opportunity to do that. And Dr. Riley sums it up best, where we've taken public school buildings and turned them into living communities, so to speak. They're very attractive. They're well kept, you know, conducive to the learning environment.
What is the biggest challenge that District 87 faces heading into the future as sort of the hole in the donut surrounded by Unit 5, and tax revenues have largely been stagnant in recent years?
I would agree. Early 2000s, mid-2000s, we saw 3-4% EAV growth. And that's, and again, that's the term we look at when we look at local property taxes. Last 3-5 years, we've seen very little growth. In fact, we've seen probably, you know, a slight reduction in growth. So, that is a challenge. However, I do want to point out, you know, that there's some good things going on in the community that will help. You know, we have Westminster Village that just put on major additions. So that will help us. We had the Candu factory to the west. It's part of Bloomington Schools, looking to add, expanding their operations. And then, of course, the Riving effect is impacting this entire community, both Bloomington Normal, in terms of employment, which will impact the housing market, which will impact the stores. So I think Bloomington Normal is on an uptick because of all the positive things going on with business in this area. So I think the future looks pretty bright.
That was District 87's Chief Financial and Facilities Officer Colin Manahan speaking with Eric Stock. The district has hired Michael Cornell to take over finances and facilities starting in July. He comes from the Gardner School District in Grundy County. Before we let you go, the City of Bloomington's Technology Commission meets today at 4 o'clock, and the McLean County Board's Finance Committee meets at 4:30. Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, with nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines, connecting travelers to the Great Lakes State, the East Coast, and the world. Schedules and information at cira.com.